Hola, you are listening to Las Chicas del Crime, a podcast where tres amigas sit down and talk all true crime for Hispanic and American crimes.
Recording, go.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, we're back.
We're back. I'm Osa.
I'm Jen.
Y somos
las chicas del crime.
Del crime.
Sorry. We are coming to you guys with a very interesting topic for our chisme, but also an introduction to a mini series within our season that we're going to be running for a little while. So, real quick, to kind of give you some context as to why we came up with this little topic. As y'all know, Kat is on a little hiatus right now, so it's just me and Osa rocking it out. And we are the moms of our little trio. So, we kind of wanted to give attention to crimes that happen with moms, I guess, that are experiencing postpartum depression and psychosis and different types of mental health issues that come along with motherhood that people may not always be talking about. So, our topic, like I said, is moms and postpartum depression and psychosis and crimes that happen under or during these periods of time. Because as we know, a lot of moms do, in fact, unfortunately, kids. I meant to say kids. So we wanted to shed light about that a little bit and kind of give some backstory, because it's not all white and black like people like to talk about things. This is a very different type of topic. So, to give you guys some background on postpartum depression, psychosis, and the different types of this, what it is really is feelings of anxiousness, sadness, depression, panic, frustration, and feeling hopeless. It's also excessive worrying and rumination. If you don't know what rumination means, it's pretty much like when you are in a loop and you're just repeating cycles and kind of stuck in a situation or in feelings. Feelings of being overwhelmed, extreme changes in appetite, sleep, and concentration, which we know when you're a mom, you don't sleep, you can't concentrate, you can't eat, you can't nothing in peace. So obviously most moms probably go through this, and we think, the causes of postpartum are pretty complicated because we don't have like a solid reasoning yet. There's a lot of theories as to why. Most of them right now have been around the idea that rapid hormonal changes happen during pregnancy and are linked to, emotional behavioral problems, especially to those that already have genetic predispositions to like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, anything that can be genetic. Others feel like your personality as well as your coping skills can also be at play for postpartum. Like if you're not prepared or don't have proper coping skills for all of the anxiety and stress that comes with mothering, that definitely could be detrimental to your health. And also a lot of lack of support and a lack of information can be responsible for why women oftentimes get overwhelmed and anxious and, you know, go through a lot of negative emotions because of this. So also some social factors as well, like death in the family, economic stress, recent move, relationship problems. And obviously, like I mentioned, biological, psychological, and social factors all play a role. So the different types of postpartum, there's four that are known. Postpartum blues is number one. It affects about 60 to 80% of all new mothers. It is often expressed as frequent and prolonged crying, anxiety, irritability, poor sleep, quick mood changes, and a sense of vulnerability. It usually occurs within the first 3 days following birth, continues for up to 2 weeks, and it is usually self-limiting, meaning it basically kind of goes away on its own. Number two is postpartum depression and anxiety, which is the most known, but it's not the one that actually affects people the most commonly, which is what is the confusion about postpartum. Because postpartum blues is what most women experience, because you don't actually have to be depressed or like fall into a depression to feel, you know, that change. Remember how you talked about how you had like that initial anxiety the first couple of days, but it eventually went away? So that would be considered postpartum blues.
Okay.
For me, we'll get into that. My difference, which is postpartum depression and anxiety, that affects 10 to 20% of all new mothers, and it's more debilitating, lasts longer than the blues, and it is characterized by despondency? That's a word. Tearfulness and more intense feelings of inadequacy, guilt, anxiety, and fatigue. There may also be physical symptoms such as headaches, rapid heart rate. A lack of feeling for the baby is of special concern, so like not really feeling connected. Feelings can appear anytime during the first few months to 1 year after the birth. Unfortunately, women experiencing this form of depression may rarely seek treatment, although almost do respond well. So for me, it's consistent. Like the postpartum feeling kind of didn't go away. I was always anxious, always tired. I did have somatic feelings. So I did have the rapid heart rate and I would get a lot of headaches. I don't necessarily feel like the postpartum part of it now because it's been 3 years.
Right.
So like I'm a little whatever, but obviously as someone who does still experience depression and anxiety, it kind of goes hand in hand because it's like there's triggers of motherhood that trigger my depression, anxiety, and still kind of give me that flashback to the postpartum. So it kind of like doesn't go away. It's really annoying. But we're here. I'm in therapy. Shout out. Okay.
Hello.
So third type of postpartum is postpartum PTSD, which is following a very traumatic birth. Could be triggered by situations leading up to delivery, during delivery, after delivery, anything regarding your childbirth. It can affect up to 6% of new mothers. The trauma leaves the woman feeling like their life or the baby's life is at risk. Sometimes, you know, they have that severe anxiety when it comes to the health of your baby. And then number four is postpartum psychosis, which is the most rare form of postpartum, but also the most severe. So postpartum psychosis or puerperal psychosis found in 0.1% of new mothers is a serious but relatively rare disorder. It reacts as extreme confusion, refusal to eat, delusions, auditory hallucinations, hyperreactivity, and rapid or irrational speech. Most of these reactions occur within 3 to 14 days from following the birth. Psychosis is serious and requires immediate medical attention and at times medication and hospitalization. So, when we talk about cases of moms committing homicides, or infanticide, or a murder, because honestly, it just really just depends on what the age is. But usually this happens when they're babies, or at least young. Typically they are going through postpartum psychosis.
Okay.
Because that's, if you pay attention to most of the stories, like, Yates, for instance, and a couple of other ones, they always have like this hallucination that Satan or something told them to protect their kids from something. And so that comes from the auditory hallucinations and delusions, which usually you're only experiencing if you have psychosis. The difference with this is that you don't actually get depressed. It's like you literally just snap.
Right.
So it's not like you feel it coming on or, you know, you have like consistent weeks and days of this type of stuff. It's literally can happen at any spur of time. Sometimes it goes away, sometimes it doesn't. So that's why we see moms, unfortunately, murdering their children. And sometimes all of them, not just one. Most of the times it is all of them. Because we've seen, you know, Yates in the bathtub. Right. There was another one. I don't remember what her name was, but she killed all three of her kids. And there's many. I mean, obviously y'all will learn about it in our series, which is why we're introducing this topic to you guys. Some statistics about this is medical researchers estimate that if you leave postpartum untreated or postpartum psychosis, it will lead, it leads up to 4% of a risk of infanticide and 5% risk of suicide. And suicide is actually a major contributor for maternal death in the first year of postpartum. Instead of like a delivery complication or something like that, usually suicide actually is leading factor of moms dying in the first year of their baby's life because of postpartum psychosis. It increases your risks. And then 72% of women with postpartum psychosis are diagnosed with bipolar or a schizoactive disorder, and 12% have schizophrenia. Some, however, though, experience this with no prior history of mental illness at all.
So scary.
I know. It's kind of like, it literally is just a flip of the switch. But when you realize what happens to your body chemically when you give birth,
right.
You know what I mean? Or when you're going through that whole thing, it makes a lot of sense as to why, especially because we're not taught here that after you have your baby, there's certain nutrition you should follow to kind of like replenish your body and all that stuff. So a lot of women are just continuously depleting all of their nutrients of their body and end up, you know, falling into, unfortunately, victims of some type of postpartum something. Speaking of that, so a little political statistics when it comes to postpartum psychosis and, you know, things of this nature. U.S. has, obviously, we know the U.S. has a lot of laws when it comes to this stuff. All of our laws, though, are different per state.
Right.
So that's why sometimes you'll see that some states, you'll have somebody that gets a more lenient sentence than somebody else. It's usually because some states, as well as we'll learn some countries, are becoming more aware of what some postpartum psychosis and depression is. Therefore, they're understanding that instead of needing punishment, they need treatment.
Right, rehabilitation.
Exactly. So countries such as Brazil, Colombia, the UK, Germany, Italy, Japan, South Korea, New Zealand, and the Philippines, even Turkey, have designed laws to allow a more lenient penalty in cases where a court determines that the postpartum mother suffers from mental illness. But again, they all vary from country, but they all have similar laws in support of that.
Taking into
consideration.
Right. That it's happened.
Exactly. For example, in the UK, the Infanticide Act of 1938 limits the charge against a postpartum mother to manslaughter if the killing occurred while the mother's mind was, quote, end quote, was disturbed by a reason of her not having fully recovered from the effect of giving birth to the child, end quote. In such a situation, a manslaughter's charge could lead to life in prison, but in the past few decades, almost all UK women convicted of infanticide are given hospital orders, probation, and or supervision.
Okay. So which progress.
It's progress, because at the end of the day, I don't think a woman should be punished their entire life for something that ultimately we don't have control over.
Correct.
You know, and it's not like it's going to, it doesn't mean, just because it happened once, it does not mean it's going to happen again.
Right.
And that's also the issue here, is if we are rehabilitated correctly, we have a strong chance of turning this around. So it's a very interesting topic because, yeah, people like this can be dangerous, but again, given the circumstances and understanding that this is more of an illness that can be treated as something that
needs to be punished.
Right.
Makes sense.
And I think also this pushes for need of better education when it comes to pregnancy education, because there are a lot of resources, but for some reason, just a lot of women do not get that information.
Yeah, so I think that's the problem. Yeah, there could be 1,000 resources, but if those resources aren't coming to the women, then, you know what I'm saying?
They're not as accessible,
there's no point, but they're kind of pointless if they're not being used.
Exactly.
You know, and as you were saying with the nutrition, like, after you give birth, like, people stop kind of giving a fuck about you. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of, like, checkups is not about you anymore, it's about the child,
baby,
which I understand, but the woman also needs to be taken care of.
Yes.
And that is something that we don't even see on top of everything we do see that we changed, like, has changed once we become mothers. Like, okay, one thing I suffer a lot from is my body, and my body doesn't look like it did before my child.
Right.
To me, a lot of people are like, you know, I look good and that's great. Like, thank you. But I know that it doesn't look the same. And it has nothing to do with my weight loss or my weight gain, because I've been both smaller than I ever was at, like, before pregnancy, and even while pregnancy and after pregnancy. And then I've been bigger, and it's just my body changed to a point where I don't like it. Now, yes, is there something I can do? Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? I could take care of myself, go to the gym. But we're talking about, that's just another fact, another thing that factors in the way, like I said, everything stops being a, like, it, your pregnancy literally goes from everybody, if you have a good pregnancy, obviously, if you have a supportive system around you, you're going to go from being taken care of to being the person who's taking care of someone else. Right. And then people come over and it's not like, oh, how are you? It's like, oh my God, let me grab the baby. Yeah. You know? So people might be like, well, you know, that's just what you have to do because you're a mother, and I understand that. But those changes add to the fact that you're already hormonally going through stuff, mentally going through stuff, you're tired, you know what I'm saying? You're
changing identity. Everything. Yeah. Yes, because
everything changes.
You know, like we were talking about earlier, we have friends that don't have kids. We have kids, you know, socially, we don't get to do shit. You know what I mean? This is as much as fun as we do on the regular. So it's kind of like one of those things where your entire life changes and you're out of control in some of it. Like, you don't have
that control.
You're a mom at the end of the day. You can't not be a mom and live all this, like, I mean, you could technically, but a responsible, loving
adult
mother will not do that. So therefore,
well, it's not adult, because there's a lot of teenagers who do step up to the plate when they become a mother. So I said adult.
True.
Like, not adult.
I guess I was
grown.
They're teenagers, like, but I would still consider even them adults because they're mature. Yeah.
But still.
Maturing mother,
yes.
Responsible,
yes,
accountable,
yes, exactly.
But yeah, no, definitely. Like, there's a lot of changes that are just so out of our control that it's kind of like, what the fuck?
You know what I'm saying? People are like, well, that's what you're saying. I get it. I'm not saying no, but
that doesn't,
like,
make it any better or any
easier.
Yeah, it doesn't change it. It actually sometimes it's more of a punch in the face.
Okay, so like, for example, you used to wake up an X amount of time to go to your job.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you still have that same job.
Uh-huh.
Now you're waking up an hour.
Even earlier.
And a half earlier than you already had to wake up, because now you got to get ready a whole other person.
Right.
And then the first, like, maybe year and a half, 2 years, oh my, all
they're
that.
They're gruel. They're excruciating.
And like, all that fucking, the bags that you have to take,
the stroller,
and the stroller, and
the car seat,
and the diapers, and then bring them a toy, and then bring them their
physically
food,
it's bullshit.
It's exhausting. And that is, like, I feel like if you are in perfect health mentally, if you are healthy physically, if you, like we said, are being a responsible adult and understand that your life changed because of a decision you made, that, like, it's still exhausting. Like, even with all of that, it's fucking tiring as fuck.
Exactly.
So when you add everything else to it, it can be,
yeah, like, it could be really worse. Yeah,
and it
can
lead you to all these problems that we're talking about.
Exactly.
And that's what we're talking about. We're not sitting here complaining or anything. It's just what happens. And we're giving you guys a perspective of two mothers, and two very different mothers.
Yeah.
Jen had way more, like, issues just in pregnancy, after pregnancy. You know, she's telling you guys that she was, I got the blues, you was depressed.
Yeah.
She was depressed, postpartum depression, where, like, me, I didn't have a lot of issues. Like, pregnancy was fucking great. Birth was okay. Postpartum, like, when it came to my healing, was a little hard because I did have a C-section. But even with my C-section, Jen had it worse. And, you know, Jen already had previous issues, mental health issues. that just everything she had to work with. Jen was in school, Jen was working, Jen was in a complete relationship, which is something so much different than me. Whether it was better, whether it was worse, that's not what we're comparing. It's just two different, totally different perspectives
right.
that we're giving you.
That's because that's saying. Also the point is that there is no one-size-fits-all to parenting. Like,
at all.
Motherhood, fatherhood, whatever hood you play your role right. in, because there's just many different, you know, parenting hoods out here. So, whichever one you are a part of, you know, it all comes with its challenges, and that is exactly what we want to cover and emphasize on this, because as a society, we fail people by grouping everybody.
Yes.
You know?
And not anything, nothing is, there's no two the same. Like,
no.
At all. Like, you could literally have twin kids and they could be the total fucking polar opposite.
And usually they are.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like there's no two things the same. So, we're here to spread that knowledge, like, this is what happens. We are not by any means condoning or saying that these mothers shouldn't be held accountable, but we are giving you the perspective of a knowledgeable, educated thesis behind why this is happening and
yeah.
how it's happening so much.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not to justify, because
at
it's
all.
Hard to justify the actions that are being committed.
Because even as a mom, you understand, like what we just said, everything you go through, but because I was never in that state, I don't understand hurting my child.
Right.
You know, so.
And even me as, even, because not for nothing, I hit a very dark point in my postpartum depression. I really did. But even with that, I personally did not experience the idea or hallucinations or the delusions to hurt my son. If anything, it was more towards my own self.
Right.
Because I was just struggling with finding my identity, finding a way to be comfortable, finding, you know, a way to just enjoy life now being so damn tired all the time
right.
and stressed and out
and
because
hurt
I'm
and,
no longer living
pain.
For me anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I used to be the weekender. I used to
yeah.
pack a bag on Thursday night after work Friday. I was out for the weekend, come back Monday, do it all over again. So from going to that to being a full-blown mom, it's like, skrr, kapoof.
And it's different because Jeff was in a full-blown relationship when
right.
she got pregnant. So her weekender had maybe became like a weekend day or early. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
it has slowed down. I was a full party girl. Like I was just casually dating the father of my child. And I was like a literally full, like I went out Monday, I went out Wednesday, I went out Thursday, I went out Friday, I went out Saturday, I went out Sunday. I would come home 4 or 5 in the morning, shower, go to work, and do it all again. And then all of a sudden, skirt, I had to slow my whole life down because I was pregnant. And I remember, I'll never forget, now I have great skin, and I had decent skin before then. But I really got good skin when I got pregnant because I stopped drinking so damn much. Oh, my God. And I started look at what I'm telling you. 4 or 5 times a week, I was sleeping 2 hours and going out about my day. And then I will sometimes come home after work, take a little nap, and go out at night.
Right.
But that's not the same as getting a full 10 hours of sleep, because when I first got, I first found that I was pregnant, I was kind of down and out because it wasn't ideal. I wasn't in a full-blown relationship with the father of my child or whatever. Definitely didn't want nothing to do with him at that point. And I, like, was like, dang, like, you know, before I really got to know myself, I was like, I want to be pregnant. I want to be married. I want to do
right.
that. I don't want to do none of that shit now. I am fine with being a single mom. But at that point, the first 3 months of my pregnancy, there, I was kind of down and out. So I would come home, eat, just lay down in bed, watch TV, and sleep. And, like, that's all I did, which, you know, like, helped me in a lot of, it's a lot of sleeping that I hadn't done in a long time.
Yeah.
Just didn't, you know? It just, things changed, and things changed abruptly because neither of us, and that's one thing we did have in common, neither of us was planning to have a kid. We just happened to have a kid.
Yep.
Wrap it up, guys. That's all we can say. I'm already gone, too gone, you know, far too gone.
They're both three. Yeah. So, obviously, the lesson was learned. Yes. So, we here to share.
We here for you.
Okay, if there's anything we learn from this is to share the information we do learn, because it's information we weren't taught at the beginning. Yes. And if had either one of us known half the shit we know now, we would be solid. We would be fantastic. I mean, my situation would have been done different long ago. But the case in point here is that, you know, we can't judge moms that go through this stuff, because half the time it's completely out of their control.
It's out of their control. It's out of their hands. They can't do anything about it. But, you know, if you are pregnant, if you are just gave birth, and if you do feel like there's something not right, do try to talk to somebody. Do try to seek professional help. Please. And I do know that it is expensive, but, you know, I know there is people who do give therapy out for cheap or for free, or, you know, there's also Tampa Health Center, which it goes based off your income. Mm-hmm. So, you know, try to look for options, because, you know, you don't want to be in jail for murdering a child.
Plus, your OB, if you tell them you need help, they will find you something. Yeah, so. It'll probably be through insurance or something of some kind, worker or something. So, you know, like, there's definitely opportunities and resources out there. And it's okay to feel scared, because obviously having a kid is scary. Married, it doesn't matter if you're married, have a house, you're careered, and you feel quote unquote prepared. The shit is scary. And it's going to be three times as scary for somebody who's not married, not as prepared, not financially stable, whatever. So either side you're on has its fears, has its pros and cons. We as people need to be more open to understanding the differences and have a better community, because shit is scary. Moms shouldn't have to be going through shit alone,
especially not alone.
Because at the end of the day, raising a child, even with a partner, is rough. So doing it alone and not having support systems and stuff is even three times as hard, maybe more than three times. But, you know, we can't write people off for things like this. It's unfair to punish someone for something that ultimately they have no power over. And guess what? I'm pretty sure most of these women now are sitting in jail with all of the regret that they don't have their children here. Eventually, that does come around. You know what I mean? So
absolutely, because then once you snap out of it, you're just like, holy fuck.
You're like, holy shit. And then on top of that, now you're living with guilt the rest of your life that you birthed four children or however many. I'm thinking of Andrea Yates.
Right.
But, you know, you birth kids and then you take their life away, and then you're just like, fuck, like, you can't even have any more after that. You're stuck in a jail cell. You know, your entire life is ruined, and you didn't even ultimately really want that, because truly you wanted your children.
Right.
But your brain and lack of proper medical care, can't even talk, you know, unfortunately puts us all at major risks for things like this. And, you know, we could say all we want about getting your personal help and all that stuff, but also we also have to hold providers accountable for a lot of the shit that happens, because a lot of providers don't take the time to educate people on stuff like this. You know, I was lucky that I had an amazing OB that I've known since my sister was young, you know, and he really took the time to sit there and educate me on a lot of these things. But I've heard horror stories of women that have dealt with doctors that they are about to have preeclampsia and, like, don't act fast enough. And that is serious enough to where you and the baby die.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But take it upon yourselves to get educated. Ask people questions if they've been pregnant. If you don't want to be pregnant, ask people questions who've had whatever procedure you feel is your option. Like,
absolutely.
Hopefully you live in a place you have options, because unfortunately now in 2022, our options are being taken from us after
fucking 1960s, facts, fucking
50s. Fucking ridiculous. And they're all being taken by old men who have no idea what it's like to have a uterus and vagina.
None.
Be there for your people also. If you have anybody around you that's pregnant, you know, or wants to be pregnant, or is going through something that deals with fertility or infertility, you know, like, be there for your people, because it's a tough time. And to be alone makes it tougher.
Yes.
And you don't want to look back and regret not being there for the people around you if you have, again, somebody that is going through something like this. So, check on your people.
Yes, do.
We need each other. And that is our chicas chisme.
And our start of our mom crimes.
Mom crimes, yes. So, please stay tuned. They're not going to be consecutive every week. Again, they're going to be, it's a mini series.
And yeah, we don't want to talk about kids. I mean, we already talk about a lot of kids dying.
Right.
Unfortunately, but.
So we're spreading it out.
Yeah, we're trying to spread it out more. You know, missing people, just everything else. And not so much just kids. And it's hard. It's hard to talk about that.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to listen, but we got to talk about them. You know, somebody got to talk about them, got to give them a voice. And that's what we're here for.
Right. And yeah, because it's like the kids deserve the voice, but also the women that fall victim to this
Absolutely.
Need the voice too. So we're here for that. Leave us your comments, or if you have a story you want to share, let us know. We are happy to
always help. Happy to
exactly.
always talk.
Literally. But yeah, stay tuned for our episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to La Chicas del Crime. We hope you join us next time for another episode full of crime y chisme. Give us a follow on all our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which we will list in the description of the episode. Please also rate our show and leave us a review, as this helps bring awareness to our podcast. We appreciate it. Gracias.